Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT, we'll be discussing all the series that have finished off, including having our takes on whether the Thunder were robbed of their Game 6. What does LeBron need to do to ensure the Cavs win in their Game 7? And have the Wizards lost their mind? We'll be discussing the post-game comments from John Wall and Markieff Morris. And did we just witness the final game of Manu? So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, we have, as always, we have the lovely Jack Manuel. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Avengers, we're going to be doing some Avengers talk, ladies and gents. So even if you don't like talking about basketball, stay tuned. Just put up with it or skip through to like the 30, 45 minute mark.
Yeah, it'll be roughly around that. We're going to...
We're hyped.
Spoiler alerts, so we'll give you some an opportunity to...
Switch off.
To switch off, that's right, yep.
And you can always return, because Nick is very learned in this area. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a fanboy myself, but not as much. But, you know, for everyone... You know, Ball and Avengers. There's not a better podcast than that.
That's a pretty good combination, if I do not say so myself. And
you are.
My name is Nick Busink.
We need to find a way of like incorporating. My name is Nick Busink, and with me today.
No, but then I can't do my.
Oh, you can't do your facts.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right,
I went to the gym yesterday.
Hey, there's your facts.
For the first time in a while.
Righty-o.
And I cannot move my arms.
Okay, so have you been able to masturbate, or you are doing alternating arms?
I didn't yesterday.
Righty-o.
So like. I mean, both arms are screwed.
Yes.
Like, I can't extend my arm. My chest is sore. My bloody brother-in-law convinced me to go to the gym.
And you can't give self-fellatio, unfortunately.
I cannot.
You listen. keep doing some stretches, mate. Keep doing some stretches. Feel like we got the name for the episode just there. Self-fellatio. We somehow ruined this podcast 2 minutes in every single time.
Every week.
Busy Manuel time, my friend.
Indeed. Obviously, another big week in the NBA with the playoffs.
Huge.
A few series wrapping up. One still going.
Yep. There's a game 7 tomorrow.
Indeed. Cavs, Pacers. Yes. Cavs Pacers.
By the time you guys are listening to this, it might be
this
over.
This is, yes, Sunday afternoon in Australia. So the Bucks and Celtics game is essentially just finished. Wrapping up that series 4-3. Taking that one in a pivotal. Wait.
Yeah.
We're going to get Game 7!
There it is. Oh, yeah. I need to work on that.
There we go, Nicky boy. Took you a couple of takes. We're actually using that, and it makes sense now.
Yeah, well, Pacers Cavs.
Pacers
Cavs
going to a
Zaza.
To a Zaza. We did coin that.
We haven't used it since. Anyway. I mean, Zaza can also be used for different other purposes.
But there were some other games and other series that didn't quite make the...
Game 7.
The iconic Zaza.
Yep.
You already forgot it was called. You called it a game 7. How dare you?
The Zaza. But like, I think of Zaza and other things as well.
Bad things.
Game 7s are awesome.
Game 7s are awesome. All right. But this series wrapped up in a close game 6. The Thunder and the Jazz.
Yes.
The Jazz going through in 6. But the Thunder were robbed of a win by the refs in game 6.
Yeah, Nicky boy.
Crucial no-call. Paul George, run it through with me, mate.
So the play, Russell Westbrook goes off. He is a man possessed. Paul George is doing nothing. Melo's $28 million is money down the drain. It's like investing in, like, you know, Bitcoin. You don't know where it's going. You might get it back. Who knows? But it's basically, so Paul George has a 3-point shot to tie the game. Rudy Gobert is defending him on the perimeter. And he overexerts himself defending the play. His momentum takes him forward. Paul George does the sort of Kevin Love, D Wade, what you want to call it, sort of play where he creates the contact. But at the same time, I don't think he created it as much. I was listening to some other pods sort of explaining it, Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. Lulu, whatever. We don't need to care about them. All cares about us. We're the real experts. His momentum was sort of going that way anyway, in terms of going to the right. That's sort of where he was sort of going, so to speak. Whereas there was one play in the Cavs Pacers series where Oladipo was defending him. Kevin Love literally, like, Oladipo was standing straight up, and Kevin Love proceeds to literally jump into him to create the contact. Whereas Rudy Gobert's momentum fell into Paul George more so. So that's why I feel like it didn't rob them, because who knows if Paul George makes all three throws and they go and win an OT. But there's validity to it. So I'm giving it Twitter, because the way Russell Westbrook was playing, and that could have given them some momentum as well. Donovan Mitchell was just in another planet. He was absolutely insane. So that's why I think that there is validity to this take, my friend. What's the L2M say?
I honestly have no idea.
I can't. You're actually on the official one.
I am. I can't actually read this.
Yeah.
I need to know exactly the time when it happened. It was right. It was literally one of the last calls, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I can't. I don't actually know how to read this last 2 minute report.
George maintains. No, that's not.
Yeah. That was something else. Anyway, whether they were robbed or not, I mean, they still had their chances.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember that possession at the end where they got, like, they missed a shot, got a rebound, offensive
exactly.
rebound,
they
couldn't make a shot.
Everyone's going to put so much weight into this personal foul, whether it was there or not. Last 2 minute report says it wasn't there.
I don't think the last 2 minute report matters anyway. Like,
it's a useless piece of thing. It's like, yeah. Okay, well, okay. In this instance, it proved that the refs had the right call.
If you want to say,
if in the referee's eyes. And then when it doesn't make the call, they say, okay, we were wrong. That doesn't do any...
No, you can't
doesn't
turn
do
back
any good
in time.
To make that public.
Doesn't give you a time stone, does it, Nicholas?
Exactly. Yeah. No, it does not. It's not going to alter the fact of the game whatsoever. Thunder still had chances to win that game. I think they lost it themselves. They lost it when Russell Westbrook doesn't show up for four out of six games.
Yep. Paul George,
Paul George,
5 out of 6 games?
4 out of 6. He had 30 odd in their game 5 win.
Okay, yeah.
And then obviously playoff P in the first game.
Yeah.
Mello, 0 of 6.
0 of 82 almost, Nicholas. Almost. Like, seriously.
Adams is still such a great player.
His foul trouble yesterday was one thing, and there was some dinky fouls that they paid on him, but just because he's so strong and Rudy Gobert was flopping, and it really irked me, to say the least. Like, I was getting really annoyed because his strength was just so much, and he gave them so many possessions. He has a really awesome partnership in the pick and roll with just the pick and pop in general with Russell Westbrook. They have a really awesome tandem. He's part of the big three now. We need to...
Yeah.
That is the big three.
He is that big three. I mean...
And I'm interested to see, like, if Paul George leaves, as is what's probably expected, it gives Steven Adams an even more increased role. And we've seen, like, you know, glimpses of it. And we've seen, like, you know, videos on Twitter of him shooting three-pointers. Mm. You know, this guy has a huge ceiling. We love him like there's no other. He's an adopted Australian brethren, despite the fact that he is from New Zealand.
our eighth state.
Yeah, but pretty much.
For a rating, mate, I'm going to hard give this one an alternative. They had their chances. It was a questionable call, but at the end of the day, I think it's a thing that they're trying to stamp out of the game.
Trying to
jump into players. Like, the last 2 minute report was saying that he's initiated all this contact.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that's true, though.
I think Gobert overstepped, but George definitely jumped into him.
Yeah, but, like, if we're going, like, percentage-wise, it'd be, like, 75-25 in the fact that it's Gobert's fault for overstepping his mark and Paul George creating the contact. Mm. But, nonetheless... Jazz go through. Mm-hmm. Nick, got a quick prediction for me for Jazz Rockets?
Rockets in 5?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same.
Yeah.
They're working into form. They're still, I think, second in offensive rating out of all 16 teams, despite the fact that they've been playing, you know, well below par in that Minnesota Timberwolves series where they got the gentleman's sweep going. I think the Jazz can push it to 6 at some time, but I've got him in 5 because Donovan Mitchell's going to need to be outstanding. Yep. Ricky Rubio's likely to miss game 1 with the grade 1 hamstring. Mm-hmm. I think it's a 10-day injury, they were saying. So, yeah, I think that we'll definitely revisit that if that series still isn't over.
It's an outside... It'll be an outside game, and we said this going into the Thunder, into that Thunder series, that if Paul George and the rest of them can find their outside shot,
yeah,
then they're a huge threat. And they're going, and Jazz are going against the best 3-point shooting team in the league.
Yep.
It's only going to spell trouble for
it
them.
It definitely is. But Nick, we talked about a Game 7 for the King. LeBron will need to score 40 for the Cavs to win Game 7, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're going to need they're going to need every single bit of production that he can dish. I don't even think if he tries for the passing game. I mean, if he ends up getting 16 odd assists,
yeah,
they win. But that's only because
the other players
are making shots.
George Hill,
if he sets people 20 people up on their passes, he's not getting 16 assists.
Yeah.
Like, they're not making those shots.
Yeah.
He cannot rely on his team.
He needs to take over. And there was some stats that like prove that whenever he's like out of the game or whenever he's not part of the offense, like it ends up in like nothing. Mm. Like they score like 0.7 points per 100 possessions or whatever it is.
If this was not a must-win game, then I would say winning basketball is like a winning brand of basketball is getting your team involved.
Look at the Warriors. You look at the Pelicans. Exactly. Their success is predicated.
And your star players make your other players better, getting open
LeBron
looks.
LeBron generally does that, but other players other than Korver, I would say, one's made their shot.
But it's hard because he's tried to over this seven game
series.
His
teammates have let him down.
And, yeah, they have.
Yep.
If they get past through the next round and play the Raptors, then you start that again because you need to build their confidence.
Absolutely.
They're not getting anywhere because I don't think they'll get past the Raptors if they play a similar series like they have.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like the Pacers have been outstanding. Victor Oladipo had probably one of his best games of his career and it couldn't come at a better time, a triple-double with four steals. LeBron's going to need to have to be great. Kevin Love is definitely hurt. We saw that finger injury earlier in the series, and I think Shaq said on TNT that he had a similar injury.
Yeah, he had a similar injury.
And
he was saying,
hold the ball.
You can't. Yeah, you cannot grip the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, what do you need to do in basketball, Nick? You need to hold the ball. It's not football.
Exactly.
So that's certainly worrying. Yeah. Obviously, you know, Kevin Love is an all-star, and for them to be like anywhere near their best, they need their second best player. Obviously, losing Kyrie Irving to the Celtics, and I mean, outside of that, J.R. Smith's been as hot and cold as a Katy Perry single. But I feel like George Hill's return hope. Hopefully can give them a little bit more cohesion.
They just need stability.
Yeah.
They just can't be so streaky.
Yeah.
This is their biggest problem. When you've got like five shooters go cold on a night, you need some morsel of consistency, which is when you need on those nights, you need Kevin Love to step up, but it's sort of hard when you consider that injury that he's got.
Yeah. I mean, and I mean, they're not saying it, but we're reading into it in that sense. But Nick, we'll do a prediction because we may not obviously get to do it before the Game 7 finishes. If it's Raptors-Cavs, what do you got for me? And then we'll do Raptors-Pacers.
Cavs in six.
Six.
I honestly think...
Six, bruh!
If the if the Wizard series was anything to go by, if the mental game is massive.
It's still there. It's still there a little bit.
And if Raptors go back to this isolation play that they did against the Warriors, they're going to get destroyed.
Well, against you guys.
Sorry. Yeah. It's so easy to defend.
Yeah, it is.
So easy to defend.
But at the same time, I mean, not that the Cavs have an awesome defense, but your defense is better than theirs.
Not in the postseason.
Okay, yeah. But the Cavs defense is literally trash. Mm. Like, it's a dumpster fire with manure. But I think, I still think that the Raptors get it. I think that this is the time.
The depth of the Raptors will kill the Cavs.
If it does happen.
If it does happen.
So I'll probably go Raptors in seven if it does get to that.
And then Pacers?
For Pacers, I would probably go Raptors in five or six.
See, I have zero faith in the Raptors.
You're
in
the Pacers bandwagon.
Pacers.
What is going on?
If they get past the Cavs,
Raptors fans, make sure you hit up Nick at JBT Nick, JBTpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't at me, please. I mean, Victor Oladipo has just been insane. Boyan Bogdanovic has shown stuff that I never saw at the Wizards.
Yeah, that's
probably because we didn't play him.
Yep.
their team's good. And it's not like their depth is bad either. I mean, no, you've got Sabonis. Yeah, they've got Sabonis coming off the bench.
Miles Turner, yeah. Collison, Thad Young's been great defensively. Yeah, they've got some really good guys.
They're a good team.
And a lot of those guys used to be on the Nets as well. So just a little bit of a tidbit for my boys. But I get it that you dislike the Raptors because Drake was yelling at John Wall. Speaking of, though, Nicholas.
Bloody Drake.
It's God's plan, Nicholas. Come on. John Wall was out of lines in his comments post-game following a series loss to the Raptors. They made some noise on Twitter. Seems a lot of guys. Marcus Morris was making some noise. What did Marcus Morris say?
Markeith Morris. We've got the worst one. The lesser of the Morris brothers.
The lesser of the Morris. The Morai.
He was saying that sometimes the better team doesn't win.
What?
And I don't understand how we were the better team.
There was no way you were the better team.
No, like we were better in two games. Yeah. Fair enough, and we won those two games.
Exactly.
There were games where we were close and then just faltered right at the end. That's not a good team. Like, you need to be able to play all 48 minutes of the game. We can't rely. Well, going back to the abusing mobile, like Markeith Morris, very wrong in his statements.
Wrong.
Obviously, very, very
wrong.
Thank you.
Cheers, Donnie T.
But I don't think John Wall was completely out of line. I'm going to give this one a Twitter fact because there were some things that I understand. Like speaking with you, your point of view, I understand where he's coming from. Yeah. But from a player's perspective, I mean. First of all, we should probably say what he was saying.
So basically, he was saying in the post-match press conference that we need an athletic big. It's on the front office to get someone, to get some guys to support us.
Which it is.
I'm the franchise guy. I put it on me. You know, I'm the guy that leads the team.
Which he is.
Yes, absolutely. So there's absolutely truth and validity to it. But I feel like there needs to be an entire organization to experience success, there needs to be cohesion from top to bottom, front office down. And I feel like there's not that there. And I don't think there ever has been that there with John Wall, because John Wall, before he got his Supermax deal now, that he's on $42 million starting next year, and there's a lot of questions around that. You know, Bradley Beal had that semi-max contract. He was on $18 million. There was a little bit of friction there. Whether it was tangible or intangible, you can say whatever you want. Otto Porter was on a bigger contract than he was as well. So there's a lot of guys on big contracts there. Bradley Beal's worthy and making up every cent. Otto Porter's a very good player, but I don't think Scott Brooks is coaching him well, and his injury certainly doesn't help him. John Wall's injury history is certainly getting very questionable, and that's Supermax, you know, over $42 million over the next 5 years, per year over the next 5 years, is certainly... not something to sneeze at in terms of if you are a Wizards fan or a Wizards pundit, in terms of how he can lead you, especially with the way he plays his game as well. So I think he also needs to, rather than throwing stones at the front office, he also needs to look at himself. Look, I got us in this situation partly by taking that Supermax deal, whereas guys like Chris Paul going to Houston Rockets and not signing for a max, which he could have, and it said signing and trading, so they could find pieces like Lukumbar, Mute, who else was it? PJ Tucker, Joe Johnson, Gerald Green, these guys to fit around them. That makes them a deeper squad and obviously elevates their ceiling. Whereas John Wall signed the Supermax and going, no, you guys got to get me guys like these athletic bigs that everyone, every single team wants. How are they going to do that on the vet minimum, John? Like, seriously?
Well, I counter that in saying that Wall currently is on an $18 million, like,
this year.
It
starts next year. Supermax, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, currently on this year, he's the least paid of those three, like you said.
Yeah.
When you're paying Machin Gotan...
Is this his last year?
Possibly. I actually don't know.
Yeah.
If that is his...
I know Jan Mahimi as well, $16 million a year. He's at least got two more years left on his...
Yeah, I mean, when we signed that with the Pacers, that had potential to be great. It's just he was injured when we signed him.
Yeah.
And then hasn't, I don't think he's been given enough of a chance, because when he plays, I think he is a much better defensive center than Marcin Gortat. Probably is not as good in the pick and roll
because they've got a really nice chemistry.
They do. Yeah. But I don't know what happens in games where, you know, Gortat can be, you know, 6 of 8 from the field.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll go, he'll only have two shots the next one.
Yeah.
And miss both of them.
JV dominated him in this series, Valanciunas.
It's his inability to stretch. I mean, JV doesn't stretch either, but
he's been better this year in that term.
But, JV has. But Gortat isn't as good. Like, you can't have, if you want a traditional center, you can't have a run-of-the-mill traditional center anymore.
No. You have to be like a defensive god, like a Rudy Gobert, or you need to be able to stretch the floor.
Which is why I'd love, I appreciate Jan Mahimni, but not as a starter, as a bench unit, because he can come on and bring that defense.
$16 million is a lot off the bench, though.
$16 million, yes, it is. Like, our contract, our money situation is not good.
Horrible.
I would be very open to trading Otto Porter to free up some space. As good of a player as he is, if we can get cheaper players like a Mike Scott. Mike Scott's on $1 million a year.
Yeah, Mike Scott's on the vet minimum. He's been a nice piece for you.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I'd definitely kick him on for a little bit. Ty Lawson's been okay. I mean, I wouldn't be...
But and Zach Lowe doesn't understand this as well. And I'm glad that I share the same opinion as Zach Lowe. Because he doesn't understand why, as soon as a playoff starts, Thomas Satoransky is a no-show.
Yeah,
Not so much he doesn't show up on the court. He doesn't get put on the court. No, he does not play.
I feel like Brooks's coaching throughout the playoffs and throughout the season
has been very questionable.
Yeah, and I mean, before we move on, one name I'll throw out there for you, Nick. Otto Porter would obviously have to be moved for this, and maybe an Oubre and a first rounder. DeMarcus Cousins is certainly an unrestricted free agent. We know the relationship with him in Kentucky and John Wall, that connection they've got. Yep. Obviously, there's the injury history as well. There was rumors even before that, but
you take the gamble. You 100% take the gamble any day, but I think he's re-signing for the Pels anyway.
It's going to be interesting because there was a nice piece by Zach Lowe about what does he re-sign for. Is it a less than max? Is it a 2-3 year deal? Is there another team that forces them like the Wizards so then they have to match it? But
is he restricted?
I believe he's restricted.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But he's definitely... Yeah, if someone matches it, then it's going to be interesting for the Pelicans.
Well, like, we go through just quickly. Like, Markieff Morris at $8 million. That's great.
That's fine.
That is great value. Like, he's the lesser of the brothers, but I still think he's very serviceable.
Yeah, for $8
million. Yeah. Jason Smith's on $5 million.
That's trash.
Yes.
That's $5 million you can give to me or you, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, you get Kelly Oubre, who's still on his rookie deal.
I guess
someone is
on the front office to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, like...
They're the ones handing out these contracts.
That's what I mean. And like, you can't blame Wall for taking that contract. It's all well and good. That's the reason I gave it a Twitter was it's all well and good to say, hey, we need more wing pieces. It's like, well, how do you get them?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's why I gave it a Twitter, because it's not that simple, Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny, Johnny.
Johnny needs to reassess.
Johnny be good. Just Johnny be good. Nick, we have some slated retirements, possibly, with the rumor mill going around. Manu Ginobili, to
go on
Charles Barkley, and D Wade, will they retire? Will retire.
I'm not too sure about D Wade, but I am almost 100% sure about Manu. I was 100% sure about Manu last season.
There was an awesome quote, awesome tweet earlier where it's like, the year is like 2060. The NBA has been disbanded. Everyone is not playing except for Manu Ginobili still. Because he's just not the most durable. And he was good in it. He was pretty good.
Great.
So like,
he was massive in their one win.
I'm giving this alternative fact because I think they're both back. I think they're both back. I think D-Wade was probably the Heat's best player.
Yep.
In the Sixers series, and we saw that because he won the game, game four.
Yeah, he absolutely tore it up. Off the bench, it was like a +26.
It was insane. And shout out to Kevin Hart for that one. And Manu Ginobili as well. Last year, I think people have short memories. The Manu Ginobili block on James Harden to send him into oblivion, and then
the shooting star meme that followed.
Absolutely, the best one ever. So I feel like, these guys are going to be kicking around. And they're going to be kicking around until we're in probably in our 30s. So I'm going to give this an alternative fact.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one a Twitter because I do think that Manu is done.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think with the whole controversy with...
Kawhi.
I've forgotten his name now. he's a distant memory. With Kawhi, the Spurs, like maybe he hasn't enjoyed himself this season.
Yeah.
I can definitely see, because the Spurs have gotten more attention this year than anyone else. Like, this is the lowest that they've slumped. There seems to be disharmony. He is old. Like, he went out. It was sad to think that that would be his final game.
I hope it's not. That's why I'm going alternative.
But I still think that Manu's done.
A team on the rise, Nicholas, are the Sixers. Now, the Sixers Woo-hoo. Are the favourites out east. It's been said everywhere, mm-hmm. but the only opinion that matters is that of Mr. Hot Take himself, Nick Buzing. What do you got for me? They're the favourites?
Yeah.
So it's a fact?
Fact. They can beat... I know it's a different thing to say that they can beat and they're the favourites, but they can beat anyone.
Yeah?
Anyone in this...
league?
Conference. let's stick it to conference for now, because I still think the Rockets and the Warriors are just too strong.
Yep, fair enough.
But they can beat anyone in this conference.
Yep.
The sort of unique...
composition.
Yeah, of their team is just tremendous. Having their defensive capabilities are amazing. Their offensive capabilities, because of all their three-point shooters, yeah. can be insane. Off the charts.
I think also... I think the scary thing as well going forward is that they've also got a really nice pick and they have roster space in terms of the salary cap. So if they want to target a Kawhi or a Paul George, they could. A lot of people are going in on this. I feel like Paul George might not be the best in terms of cohesion. I feel like ride it out for this year and next year. And then next year, and re-sign JJ. And I think next year, go all in on a Klay Thompson. I feel like that would be the way that they should
Has Paul George plateaued? And has he fallen off? Or do you think it's just being in Oklahoma? Do you think if he moves, then he'll become what he was
actually,
at the
Indiana? That's a fair point. I feel like he...
So if he moves to the Sixers, will he become a lot better? Or...
Well, look at Robert Covington.
Are you getting...
He's an all-star. And Robert Covington, I said earlier in the year, it was sort of hot takey, but in terms of form and how he's playing right now, he's a top five small forward. Obviously, Paul George is as well. But I feel like, you know, you don't need to mess with it. I feel like Paul George, in terms of his play, the injury in terms of he sort of settles, he's lost a step somewhat. His three-point shooting has gone up, but I feel like that's partly due to the fact of where he is with the Thunder. He certainly is... I don't think he's a number one guy, though. I feel like, you know, Joel... And he could fit well in the Sixers, but I feel like he may have... This may have been the best we've seen of Paul George, and I don't think he's going to get any better. So, yes, he has plateaued, I think.
Okay. Getting back on the Sixers.
Yes.
Their highest paid player at the moment is JJ Redick.
I know. And it's
on 23.
1 year deal as well.
We're talking about like contract, like you said, like money and salary flexibility.
They got so much.
In two years, it's going to be clogged up. You're giving Simmons a max. You're giving
Joel's already signed though, and he signed for less than a max as well.
It must have been an injury clause or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, with all those, and in terms of how many games he plays, there's a lot of clauses that you mentioned. So that's something I think that's really nice. Ben Simmons will probably get one, but it's still in 2 years' time. So you have 2 years more of Ben Simmons at this. You know, Robin Covington, a really awesome deal for like $16-17 million. Literally the perfect deal. Literally probably the perfect player that, like, in terms of what any sort of team wants on a 3-and-D wing. But before we go on, predict the Sixers-Celtics series, Nick. 6-7, Sixers-Celtics.
Sixers in... Who's got home court?
Sixers do, I believe.
No,
Celtics. Oh, no,
Celtics
because they were second, yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. Sixes and six.
Yeah, I was going to say sixes and six as well.
Sixes and six.
Sixes and six and sixes and six. Sixes and six. I feel like they've got just too much talent there. They're the form team of the NBA right now, with the Pelicans, obviously, after that loss today, not so much. We'll be getting to them soon. But yeah, the Sixers are just playing such awesome basketball. Mm. I feel like Al Horford's going to be a really integral piece. I mean, he was awesome in game seven. He's going to have to be even better to stop Joel Embiid and even like outside. He's an awesome defender and they're going to need his offense as well. So it's going to be interesting to see his energy on both ends of the floor. So I'm going to go Sixers in six as well. But Nick, very quickly, we'll touch on some teams that are out. Obviously, the Timberwolves are out. The Nuggets would have been a better opponent for the Rockets than the Timberwolves in their series.
Nah.
Yeah, I'll go alternative fact.
Hashtag
well.
Alternative fact. Yeah.
I don't even know if they would have stolen a game, the Nuggets.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But that being said, it just shows the dominance of it. More so shows the dominance of the Rockets because they were still there were games when, I think it was game one, they were shot really bad. No.
Yeah, game one, they definitely shot bad. And I think game two as well.
Like, they just weren't shooting, and they lost them both.
I mean, their highlight was the third quarter. Was it game five where they got 50?
Yeah, 50 in the third quarter.
Yeah, so, and I mean, you know, that if that's a sign of things to come. But let's talk a little bit about the Timberwolves. In terms of, we've talked about the Wizards in terms of roster composition. There's certainly some issues for the Timberwolves as well, with Andrew Wiggins on a max, who does not deserve it, I think. And Kat, you're going to have to give a max. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler wants a max. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you give it to him in terms of his injury history and in terms of how Tom Thibodeau is going to kill him. He's going to die before he fulfills that full deal. Mm. So, and I mean, outside of that, there's no depth, similar to the Wizards. And Tom Thibodeau is both the head of the front office and the head coach. Mm. So a lot of that falls on him. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, do you trade Wiggins? We advocated earlier, we brought up like a take via the Ringer earlier in the year about the fact that Kat won't be on the Timberwolves because, you know, what's the ceiling of this team? Mm. They have a nice ceiling in terms of their starters. But outside of that, you know, you look at the best teams right now, the Rockets, the Sixers, and the Warriors, they've all got a relatively deep team, yep. Deep-ish team.
You just need role players on your
and they don't have
bench unit. And they don't have it. I mean, their point guard position seems to be their deepest position.
Yeah,
with Tyus Jones and
D-Rose and Teague.
D-Rose and, yeah, obviously Teague as well. They've got a nice piece in Jamal Crawford, but I don't think a bench is on Thibodeau's mind.
But
it's
like,
not on his priority list.
And that is going to be to his downfall because it's. We know how good, you know, their starting five is,
mm.
but so is the Sixers. And the Sixers have guys like Ilias Bellinelli coming off the
just
bench,
people,
TJ McConnell,
bench,
Markel
yeah.
Fultz. They've got bench depth. And that makes, you know, you look at where the Raptors are right now. The Raptors, I feel like, I think DeRozan and Lowry weren't playing more than 35 minutes at all in this series. Mm. And it allows them to be fresh and allows a guy like Kyle Lowry to have that huge game six. Whereas Jimmy Butler is so gassed and he's coming off a knee injury and he's playing like 40 minutes. I'm not sure if Kat's going to be wanting to do that. I don't know how his relationship with the front office and Thibodeau. Mm. Obviously, he had that mentorship with KG last year and there's that sort of connection. But it's going to be interesting watching his future going forward, whether, you know, he's going to be in a Minnesota uniform. I hate to say that to Timberwolves fans and Kieran will probably kill me for it. But yeah, there's certainly issues with the Timberwolves.
I mean, they've got $12 million wrapped up in Bielitsa and Cole Aldrich.
Yeah, Cole Aldrich is... I didn't know he was still in the NBA. I didn't know. I thought he was still with the Clippers. Thanks for letting me know.
Like,
I didn't
$12
know that.
Million dollars there. That is a... Like, $12 million can get you a very good role play.
It can.
Yeah.
It can. Like,
if they're on the right contract,
in today's, where the salary cap situation is at now, it's going to take probably a couple of years for it to be sort of free-flowing like it was in 2016 where Mozgov, Turner got all these ridiculous contracts.
Yeah.
Right now, Lou Williams was the guy who sort of set the standard for the market with that mid-level exception deal, which is at $8 million. Now, you look at guys like Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, these guys are going to be wanting some big deals, but the market isn't ready for it, and they're not going to be able to get it, despite the fact that they've been awesome. Smart's been a real integral piece in terms of the Celtics series, and Rozier as well. He's been absolutely balling out, and those guys deserve some money, but the time isn't right, and it's just unfortunate in that sense, and it's unfortunate for a lot of the league, especially teams like the Wizards and the Timberwolves, because it's going to be even harder to attract those players to your organization. But the Warriors have already gotten back to Warriorsing. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. And they will sweep the Pelicans, Nicholas.
Wiki. Yeah. I can't give this a hard fact.
It's hard to give a sweeper fact. But the fact that we did this after the game, man.
Recency bias is very, very...
And Steph Curry is slated to be back in game two.
He's not even back.
Not back yet. Like, Jay-Z and Beyonce were fawning over Klay Thompson. And with due reason, because he was awesome. Draymond was doing his triple-double thing, absolutely dominating defensively. AD did all he could, but this Warriors team is just peaking at the right time. They have all the pieces. It's just really scary to see. The fact that Steph Curry coming back now, and hopefully that he's peaking, it's worrying for Pelicans fans, because... They're really good, and they're only getting better, it seems.
Mm. It didn't matter what Pelicans did in this game. No matter what lineup they threw.
That first quarter looked good, though.
Yeah, I mean, the first quarter and a half, it was like Pelicans were up for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, not getting enough points out of Jrue Holiday. I think he might have been his own enemy.
Yeah.
Because he set himself up for greatness in that first round series, and when you're shooting sub 30% from the field,
yeah,
you're taking 14 shots, which isn't it's not a whole heap for a main guy,
number two guy,
yeah, like, but he ended the game with 11 points,
and I think Nikola Mirotic as well.
Mirotic needs to be hitting his shots,
and he was defending KD. I don't like that matchup at all. I don't know what they do with that, whether they somehow can like muster getting Jrue on him and like hide Mirotić on someone else. It certainly...
Mirotić showed his defensive...
He's okay,
stock.
But KD can both shoot over him, and in the first possession, it's sort
he
of...
he can shoot over him, shoot over Jrue.
And he took over but the fact is, Jrue will be better in terms of preventing him from getting to the line. KD's going to shoot. KD settling for jumpers is good, but KD was blowing by Mirotić, and I think Mirotić has the athleticism to keep up with him. I feel like he's probably the only matchup that can, unless they sub in a Solomon Hill or Darius Miller. But he's a matchup worry for everyone. So.
I think one of the few players in the league who can match up with KD is on his team.
Yeah, Iguodala and Draymond.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not fair.
Paul George, maybe.
It's like, there are counters out there, but we own them.
Yeah. I think Robert Covington would be good, hopefully we get a Sixers Warriors.
Yeah, like a Simmons can hang with that.
Oh, absolutely. None of us thought that going into the season. Simmons, you know, he'd be an easy all-rookie defense, and he'd be pushing for an all-defense second team. But...
just quickly, Kevon Looney was plus 34 today.
Yeah, I saw him playing, and I'm like, damn, he's going all right.
He had 3 points.
He's keeping...
he was a plus 34.
He's keeping rookie Jordan Bell on the bench, that's for sure. But, yeah, that blowout win by 22 points. Hopefully, for Pelicans fans' sakes, it doesn't lead to a sweep, but I'm going Wiki as well. I'm going to go Warriors and...
five.
You know what? I'm
always
fact.
Confident with five.
I'm going sweep. Warriors are going to win in the sweep. Fact.
God damn. I mean, if this game one was anything to go by, then yeah, I mean, you're in safe.
And Steph gives him even that more energy. The fact that they want to like do better for him, and like he's out there and he changes everything for that team. And the fact that now they're actually playing the Warriors style offense, you know, it just seems like
the switch has very much been flipped.
It certainly has, Nicholas. But we're going to play that off topic music now.
I know. It's like we're finished with basketball.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to an off topic.
Yeah,
here we go
play the music.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes. Welcome to another off-topic JBT special. This one is going to be all about the recent blockbuster that has hit
spoilers.
Cinemas, Avengers Infinity War. Nothing specific. We're just going to chat about it.
Absolutely.
And yes, there will 110% be spoilers in this.
But 100% is the most that one person can give, Nicholas.
Yes. But
elevator music.
We will give you some time to turn off the podcast. So here we go. All right, I think that's time well enough.
We were very lucky not to be laughing over that. I love that music.
So, Avengers, mate.
Oh, wow.
First of all, just if you were grading...
like, yes. Empty bottle media
empty
style?
Empty bottle media. How what? Full is your bottle?
We're
talking a litre bottle. Is it 500 mils? Is it litre? Is it 950 mil?
I'm going 800 mils.
Ooh, yeah. That's low. So 8 out of 10, more or less.
Yeah, 8 out of 10. I mean...
problems, Jack.
There were problems just because, like, I don't see the state of permanence of things that happened with the film. Like,
yes, that's very true.
And the way the film was made, it was awesome. The Russo brothers can really do no wrong.
Yes.
And, ooh. I mean, they have to be back for the next one. Mm. I mean, they just have to be. And I don't know, I'll go 8.5 because it was better, but I don't think it was an A+ movie for me.
Okay.
Like, I enjoyed Black Panther more. Just personally, just my personal opinion.
Yep. I'm probably going to give it the same, like, on par with Black Panther.
Yeah.
I'm definitely giving this 900 mils. Yeah, 9 out of 10 for me. That it was such a fantastic movie, and I agree. The only thing I am going, and I know I am going to dislike this, is when they bring everyone back.
Yeah,
and that was one of the worst things about Justice League. Oh, sorry, not Justice League. The Batman v Superman. Not Batman v. Which one did they bring him back? He died in Batman v Superman.
Who?
Superman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he came back in Justice League.
Yeah, Justice League, yeah.
It's just dumb. Like, yeah. DC took a massive, massive step by killing off killing off their franchise.
Yep.
And that was a huge step, and then they brought him back, and it's just like, I use Supernatural as a good indication of this, because when Sam...
Yep.
When they had that car crash at the end of season one,
yeah,
and we were just like, "Oh my god, did they just die?" Season two came out and they were alive, and then Sam dies at the end of season two, and you're just like, "Oh my god, he's dead," but then he comes back, and then Dean goes to hell at the end of season three, and then the start of season four, he's back, and by the end of it, they've died about a good five times, so, and you're not shocked anymore.
DC is the Supernatural. Of the...
I mean, Marvel as well, because I know that these guys are coming back. But it's one of the biggest knocks on the Marvel Universe is that there are no consequences in their film.
But at the same time, if we're going to Avengers... I read a rumor that it might be called Avengers Assemble, because obviously, for those that saw the ending, Captain Marvel could be here to save the day.
Yep.
And the fact that we didn't see an Ant-Man. We didn't see Hawkeye, Nicholas. Where was Hawkeye?
Oh, yeah.
Where was
Hawkeye?
Yeah.
He's a low-key favorite of mine.
Doing his Katniss off. Of course you like Hawkeye.
I like arrows. I like bows and arrows. I like Legolas, man.
Do you like Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Katniss fan?
Yeah.
But, okay, let's go. BuzzFeed did a cool article in terms of the people that died and who they think is going to stay dead.
Hmm.
I'll go through some names for you. Heimdall with Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, he's dead.
He's gone.
He's too much of a minor character to keep alive.
Fan favorite, but I think he's gone. Loki.
He will stay dead.
Yeah,
I think so. Like, he has died seven times.
He has died a lot. Loki is low key.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. I fucking love him.
Tom Hiddleston is a great actor.
Feel like we both also love the fact that, you know, the brotherly dynamic of Thor and Loki.
Mm.
It's just something that I resonate with very well. Gamora can't be dead.
She can't come back. I don't think she can come back.
But what about the Soul Stone? There's going to be something there, I reckon.
I've heard things
if they destroy all the stones.
I've heard things that she is the soul inside the Soul Stone.
Yeah. Hence what
happened. I haven't read the comics, so I don't know how any of this sort of ends. I don't know.
It ends with the click, and then basically everyone just fades away.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen the movie.
No, but like that's how the comic ends as well. It shows like the snap.
Yeah. Yep.
From Thanos.
But then, yeah, I'm not entirely sure. What happens with how the stones are constructed? I'm not deep in lore like that, but yeah, I've heard that Gamora might be the soul stone, might be inside that soul stone.
Yeah,
which could be interesting. She might come. I don't think she'll come back.
Interesting.
She was one of the major. She was one of the major players that will come back, and they can still make Guardians of the Galaxy without her.
Yeah, I feel like there was rumors going around that James Gunn wanted to focus Guardians of the Galaxy on her.
Mm.
And
she's a badass. I mean, she's a great...
Zoe Saldana's awesome as well. And I feel like, I feel like she has to be back in some capacity because she's just such an important part of the narrative. And the fact that, like, she's probably the first, you know, with Black Widow, but I feel like Gamora even more so sort of, like, put the mark in terms of going... female, awesome superhero. Mm. And Gamora could certainly have her own... She could lead. As much as I love Chris Pratt and Star-Lord,
mm.
I reckon Gamora could lead a film. I reckon she's that good.
Yeah.
But I feel like everyone else is coming back. But what was the most, like, heart-burning...
Easily when Peter Parker...
Tom Holland, he pulled at me heartstrings so much then.
He called him sir.
I
cried. As soon as I heard him, like, whimpering, like, I don't feel so good, I'm just like, oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. And then Oh, when he was holding, when he, Stark was holding him in his hands.
Oh, no.
I just started bawling.
Yep.
Because everyone else was just sort of, oh, well, what's happening to me? But what struck with me was that these guys are superheroes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You forget that Spider-Man's a kid. He's in high school.
Yeah.
Or middle school.
And he's just learning his powers. We saw at the start of the film how he's finally learning the Spidey sense and how it affects him.
And to see him revert back to a kid. I was not so much revert, but he's always been a kid. But to bring that sort of childish mentality out, and it just hit you like a ton of bricks.
And they sort of alluded to it somewhat in terms of how the fact that Pepper and Tony were sort of working on getting married and having kids and stuff. So he's always had that relationship.
He's always been that father figure. Yeah. It's he just faded away.
I love Tom Holland and one of my favorite iterations of Spider-Man. I can't wait for the Spider-Man 2 because Spider-Man Homecoming was awesome. And he's just got... He embodies everything that Spider-Man is in terms of that, boyish charm of that sort of rebelliousness and that sort of just, he's just awesome. And it killed me. And obviously, everyone's fan favorite, Black Panther as well.
Yep. It's
Wakanda not forever, Nicholas.
I couldn't believe that he just faded away. I thought... I was in that... last 20 minutes of the film, I don't think my jaw could have been any more open. I could not fathom what I was watching. Even when Vision died and he's turned back the clock, he's not worried at all.
Yeah.
And I foolishly, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
I foolishly thought, oh, okay.
Happy ending.
Not so much happy, but I always thought that he wasn't going to get all of the stones.
Yeah.
Because he would literally become unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that's one way around of giving him one weakness.
Yeah.
That obviously, the hero will always prevail. And I thought that was their way out. And I believed it. I believed that Vision was dead. And then once he started turning back the clock, I'm like, of course.
You bastard.
Of course.
But we...
So, yeah.
With that, Nick, Doctor Strange alluded to it in terms of when he's talking to Tony about the 14,605 scenarios that he looked at about how it ends up being successful.
Mm.
And he's like, it had to be done to Tony.
Yep. And he said it afterwards while he was fading away. He's just like, it had to be done this way.
So...
He knows what's up.
He absolutely... And how awesome... What's his name again?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
How awesome is he as Doctor Strange?
He's great.
He's so good.
I love the fact that massive actors are not caught in this rut of... Because superhero movies were always sort of like, oh, I don't want to be a superhero movie.
And then Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man 1. I mean, they had to leave... I feel like lots of people are saying that Iron Man had to stay alive in terms of the Marvel history, because he was the guy that brought it back and he revolutionized it.
And likewise, Marvel saved his life.
Absolutely.
To an extent, yeah.
Absolutely. So I feel like, in terms of... These guys are probably likely to be back with that time stone. Certainly, obviously, there's still Thor, the MVP of Avengers Infinity War, other than Thanos. He was so awesome.
I love the dynamic between him and the
Guardians. God.
Because it's just... Everyone was just hanging shit on Star-Lord. And he's just like, come on. You're one... Rocket. It's like, you're one sandwich away from being so fat.
Who's your... Rank me the Chris's. The Evans, the Hemsworth, the Pratt. Pratt did some stupid shit.
He essentially ruined everything.
But basically, straight, like you said to me, he must have done that in all 14...
In all 14 million bloody iterations that Strange saw, he screwed up that plan in every single one of them.
It's bewildering. It's like an Andy moment from Parks and Recreation. Literally.
My bad. Chris Hemsworth at the top. I mean, they were joking about it the whole game. He is just so muscly.
Oh my god, he's so hot.
Attractive.
Even with new eyes.
When he was holding open the iris to power up the forge, I turned to my mate and I'm just like, this is just an excuse for him to flex his muscles. Because the stance he was pulling was such an Arnie stance.
It's like the beach ball. It's like, where's my beach ball? It's this big. With the hammer now, Nicholas.
With the axe. Yeah.
Sorry, the axe.
It's no secret that I've been playing God of War.
Yes.
And he uses an axe from like this Norwegian sort of time, right, like from Norse mythology.
And it was came from Groot as well.
Like, oh yeah, well, Groot, like sacred, like he came into action, Groot.
I am Groot.
When it counted, and then he died as well. I was so sad.
I know,
Jack.
You can't kill Groot. They killed him once.
Best part of the film.
Yeah.
I am Groot.
Yeah.
Hello. I am Steve Rogers.
That's
so funny. Marvel's so good at like little quips like that.
I felt, yeah, but a lot of it is the direction from the Russo bros. Obviously coming from Community and their history, and they sort of bring that quirky sort of humor with it.
It's just clever.
It is.
It's clever humor.
It is. And one underrated thing, I love Ludwig Göransson, who started on Community, funnily enough, as well, and also did the music for Black Panther. The sort of themes for each superhero. Black Panther's music is awesome. Mm. That African tribal music, the theme is
even just
awesome.
That fight, the whole fight scene.
Yeah, that was
where,
awesome.
When they were chanting, like banging their spears down on the.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of like it's Islander sort of war, like
it's tribal.
It's very tribal, and I think that is so cool. Like I've always loved. That sort of their approach
and
to
the history,
not so like their approach to like to psych you up, like the New Zealand
the haka
is so cool, and it's so intimidating, and like these days, like it was a war dance, it's a war dance, but used at the rugby and stuff like now, but that sort of same principle is just so cool,
gets you hyped.
And one actually moment that I thought was really cool in the film was. There was a moment during that battle where it was just like girl power.
Oh yeah,
like there was one female crony, I guess from Thanos' crew, and then you had I can't remember her name, the girl from Black Panther,
T'Challa's
T'Challa's
head of
the military, T'Challa's ex, and you had Scarlet Witch there and Scarlett Johansson,
Scarlet Witch was low key. Female MVP for me.
Well, she is ridiculously strong in the comics. I've learnt, but I think like she's the daughter of Magneto.
Yeah, she's still learning like her powers. I feel like the casting, Elizabeth Olsen could have her own film, and like if they do, I feel like they should do a Black Widow with her as like a major sort of force, because Black Widow's history is like, you know, Russian sort of fight, Russian spy, blah blah blah. But it's not. Over superhero, it's sort of like Captain America to an extent. So like, I feel like, you know, to have that sort of that'd be awesome, and I feel like it's likely to happen. Like I was watching a heap of YouTube videos about Marvel movies coming up in the future.
Well, I can see Captain Marvel being Captain Marvel being a massive like that's another superstar for your franchise as well. You just it's like, oh, we've got all these people. We'll add
Brie Larson
as well.
An Academy
Oscar
Award
winner. Yeah, exactly.
And I feel a lot of people might. I know Chaz probably isn't her biggest fan, but I'm a big fan of her. She's an amazing actress, and you know, we've seen her in the suit. There's that one photo, but I'm interested to see where it goes. That sort of film and how it, obviously because her character is set in the 90s, and obviously we're now in, I think 2018 or 2020. Mm. I'm not sure if it's in the slightly in the future, the current like Marvel universe where it is. So where's she been? Blah blah blah. We saw, but. What else was I going to say? There was just so many like awesome moments, and it's like hard to like fathom the entire like 150 minutes. Like, what's your prediction for the next film, Nick? Like, there has to be some sort of consequences. People are going to die. Like at the end of the fourth Avengers.
I think this one set up the OG Avengers, because they're the only ones, like, they're one of the few that are still alive.
Yeah.
Whether they take the time stone from Thanos somehow.
Yeah.
Whether, I don't know, maybe the Doctor Strange people.
Yeah, like,
his crew.
Yeah.
Can do something with their wizardry.
Because his guy's still alive, his bro.
Yeah, Wong.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I'm still sort of in shock.
Yeah.
That final sequence was so incredible. I went to the movies with my brother and two mates.
Yeah.
And one of the guys had to leave early because he had something else on.
Right.
And he left half an hour with the film.
What?
Still going.
Oh my god.
He missed the best part. And
the only
part, really. I know. It was just built up to that whole thing when he completed the glove.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see, like, obviously the fourth Avengers is going to sort of set up the entire Marvel Universe going forward in the next... I think it's out in May 2019, this time next year.
Next year, yeah. So, 1 year turnaround is great.
Yeah.
I just add. That's fantastic.
In between is Captain Marvel and Ant-Man. Now, whether they have impact... Obviously, Captain Marvel, I think, but Ant-Man might be separate from...
I think the Captain Marvel is an origin, though. I think it's set in the 50s.
Right. But it's going to have to be something that has an effect. We know obviously Marvel with their post-credit sequence. You know, some of these characters may stay dead by the end of Avengers 4. Like, will they reboot it? I don't think, you know, I feel like one of Captain America or Iron Man will be dead in Avengers 4.
Oh, 100%. I think both of them will be.
Both?
Yeah.
I feel like Captain America probably will be just because... Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man started it all. It brought back this superhero.
That's why it would be so devastating if they... I honestly think
does the universe... Does Marvel Studios have the cojones to do that? Well, like, the director will want to do it, obviously.
I hope they do.
Yeah,
I hope they do.
It's going to be... I mean, we're obviously flabbergasted by this one, but Avengers 4...
I just hope that Thor comes out at the end of it.
It's gotta.
Like, I want Thor, like...
For us Australians.
Yeah, for the Australians.
We need that, but it's going to be interesting. We'll obviously be hopefully still doing JBT then, and we'll make sure we do another 20 minutes or so on Avengers. I'm going to call it Avengers Assemble because I read some YouTube comments. That's what I think it might be, Nicky Boy. And I always... YouTube comments are the most reliable sources of information in the world.
Infinity War 2.
That's not...
I'm very...
How original. Genius. Yeah. How original. But, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
That's our spiel on
If you want to email us about Infinity War, Avengers, give us your theories, give us what your favourite parts were.
Mm.
You know, we'll chat, we'll do another off-topic.
And basketball, I guess we can talk about
right,
about
yeah, JBT, we are just sport things. I forgot about that. But, spiel?
Spiel.
Yeah.
All right, that just about does it for another week. So we'd like to say thank you for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio. I think Blog Talk Radio actually had a merger with I can't remember.
Well, I didn't even know that.
But they, there's another platform that we're on. I'm gonna have to remember that. But thank you, Blog Talk, for everything that you've done. Or wherever it is you're listening to your podcast, we'll be there. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review, and helps us out a lot. Thank you there. You can contact us at the JManJBT and at JBTNick. You should also hit up OTG Basketball on Twitter, where you can read some awesome NBA articles, or the website, otgbasketball.com, and heaps of other fire content there as well. We've got Facebook, Just Ball Things, you'll find us. Hit us up on email, as Jack said, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. We'll answer your emails. We'll discuss them on the show. Anything really. So remember, it's you guys that make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.